Good morning. Sure is good to be here. Can't think of any better way to start out the new year than to gather together with people of like faith and to worship God together and express our deep appreciation and love for the Creator who has given us everything that we need. And it is to Him we turn, and it's to Him that we will always go to find out how we should live, what we should do, and what our life should be like. We're going to begin this morning a series about the fundamentals of faith. And it will deal with things like truth and the Bible, our Savior, the Son of God, and the second coming of Jesus. But this morning, by way of introduction, we are going to talk about some things related to light and related to the armor that God has given us. Spiritual warfare is a topic that is always in vogue, but it seems like it comes to the front when there are difficulties that are coming about with reference to our country or the church or even in our own lives. But it gets a lot of attention in certain times, and actually it should be getting a lot of attention all the time, not just something that arises every once in a while. We must never forget that the struggle that we are in is not against flesh and blood. And that's sometimes hard for us to see, because flesh and blood, that's in front of us. We can see that. But our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers of darkness in the heavenly places. That's where, you know, we find our enemy. And that's where we find the one that has abandoned his place that God has given him to serve himself and to enlist the help of demons. Jesus said, Jesus made the statement that my kingdom is not of this world. And that fits in with what Paul said about not against flesh and blood. Because Jesus said if flesh and blood were actually the enemy, and if it were, the kingdom were of this world, he said, then my disciples would fight. And then I would talk to my disciples about doing that. But down through the years, people have ignored that, what he's saying, and they have tried to turn it into a physical battle instead of a spiritual battle. I mean, you can go all the way back to the Crusades. I mean, that's what they were after, some physical enemy that they could fight against. But the real enemy is Satan. And he is a created being. And he is a being that is not on an equality with God as far as his power, because he's created. God always was, he always will be, and he is. The devil, on the other hand, is not. Each Christian has been marked by Satan as a target, marked for conquest. The devil goes after every one of us in one way or the other. Satan's goal is to trip us up in our desire to serve God and our desire to develop a faith that saves and a faith that stems from the Word of God. Satan is working hard to overthrow Christians and to infiltrate the church and to influence the church to do things that are contrary to what God has authorized. He's working hard at that. To influence us and to render our example in the things that we do as ineffective. That's the devil. And he works through various means. But the main weapon he uses against us is lies, and is false teaching, and is false doctrine. And the Bible characterizes Satan as a deceiver and a liar probably more than anything else we read about him in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we are told that Satan is a deceiver and that he is out to deceive the whole world. So what we have Satan and his minions that are after us. We are told that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. So it's more than just the devil that we are fighting. Satan deflects the truth from people's hearts, so they won't believe and so they will not be saved. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus is talking about the seed and what happens. And so what Satan does is he tries to snatch the seed out of our hearts. He attempts to influence our hearts to the point where we will doubt and we will not believe. And if we doubt and we do not believe, then we are also going to lose our hope. And we're going to lose our salvation that God has prepared for us. Paul told us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. He says that one of the things as children of God is that we need to guard our hearts. And that is an individual responsibility that we have. God has given us a heart with which we can believe and with which we can offer our sacrifice and we can offer our lives to Him. But it is the center of everything. The heart is the thing that has to be touched and has to be guarded and has to be maintained. Because if the heart is not, then everything that emanates from the heart is going to be touched and is going to be affected if we don't think seriously about how we are going to defend it. So Paul gives us, and Peter and John, they give us ways in which we can defend the heart that God has given us. The devil works through false prophets. He works through false teachers. And in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, in 1 John 4 and verse 1, this is what John says. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now he is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Prove every spirit. So how do you do that? Well, you do that by going back to the Bible. That becomes the standard that we look to. It is not what some man thinks or what some group of people think about it. It is what God says, and whether or not this is in accordance with what God has said. So it's up to us to prove every spirit and to look at what people say and what people are to see whether or not they're true or false prophets. Back in the Old Testament, a prophecy was made concerning the prophet that was going to come, which was Jesus Christ. And we were also given a way to discern whether or not what a person said was true or false. If he claims to be a prophet, and then what he says comes true, then God says that he's a true prophet. However, if he predicts something and it does not come true, then it's a false priest, a false prophet, and we are not supposed to have anything to do with that. But what happens is that many end up falling prey to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, doctrines that arise out of the influence of demons and evil spirits and Satan himself. In John chapter 8, in verse 44, what Jesus says is, He says that the devil does not stand in the truth. He does not stand in the truth. Because, and he explains it, because there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. And now he may say things that appear to be truth, and he even may say some things that are true, but they are not truth. Because truth is objective, and truth comes from God. And by the way, Satan lives in what he does, and the fact that he was a liar from the beginning, and has always been a liar. And Jesus said he is the father of lies, because his lying begins even from the beginning. And he tries to influence us. He speaks, Jesus says, he speaks from his own nature. When he speaks from his own, not from others. And he chooses to do this. As a free moral being, he was able to decide whether or not he was going to serve God or whether or not he was going to serve himself. And he chose the latter, not to serve God. So, he is in the world. And we can't afford to believe him. Eve fell prey to his lies. We can't do that. Jesus warns us. He warns us that we need to go to him and go to the Father. False doctrine is not just something that is impersonal or very passive. But what false doctrine is, false doctrine actively pursues us. And we cannot afford to ignore it. And sometimes when we are warned about false doctrine and we are warned about teachings of people who are not teaching the truth, we ignore that. We can't afford to do that. Jesus said the Pharisees did that. They gave in. Jesus said to them, that their father is not Abraham, as they claimed. Their father was the devil. And so the doctrines of demons and the demons themselves, they are instruments of Satan. And the false teachings are things that Satan throws in our paths to try and trip us up. Don't let it happen. He chases us. He may even try to blind us. Then he throws a net over our face so we cannot see clearly what the truth is. And you see, if we are not actively, and this is important, if we are not actively and consciously defending ourselves against the schemes and the wiles of the devil, then we will surely become his captive. Unless we defend against the schemes and the wiles of Satan himself. But the thing about it is, we can't despair. You know, you read about Satan and what he does and you think about that. But despair is not a part of our thinking, because God has given us what we need to fend off Satan and his attacks. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, we understand that God has given us an armor to wear. And it is an armor, if we put on all the pieces of the armor, it is an armor that is impenetrable. He can't get in if we put the armor on. However, oftentimes what we do is we fail to do that. We may think we can piecemeal it and put on a little here and a little there. But at the time when we do that, though, we may be shoring up our defenses in one area, but be weak in another. We can't do that. The whole armor of God is what we're after. That's what we need to be looking forward to. Each piece of the armor is important.
But it does seem clear after you read about the armor of God
that the primary means of defense against the great deceiver is truth. That's what God has given us. It is truth. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, in verse 14, Paul says, having girded your loins with truth. He says, it's interesting, after reading through all the pieces of the armor, you discover that there is one aspect of it that is mentioned twice. No other piece is mentioned twice. Only one. And in verse 14, he identifies what it is. It's truth. It is objective truth that comes from God. It is the truth and the gospel that was once for all delivered. That's what we use. He says in verse 17 that we are told to take up the sword of the Spirit. And then he identifies what it is. It is the Word of God. It is this book. The Bible, the things that come from God by inspiration to us. So you ask the question, so what does all this mean? For a successful defense against the deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, it's not enough for us to just have the Bible or have the Word of God. It's not enough just to simply know its contents. Because Bible knowledge can become just a mental exercise. But it is more than that. It's not enough to just have a passive, implicit faith in its contents or to say, surely, yes, I believe whatever the Bible says. It's more involved than that. We need to understand what that is. We must know the truth. And the truth is the only sure weapon that will work against the deadly attacks of Satan. So consequently, you know what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 is that we must love the truth. It becomes an integral part of our thinking. We love it. We guard it. And we look at it the same way that the inspired writers looked at it. And so in our study about the fundamentals of faith, one thing we are presupposing is the existence of truth, the value of it, and the value of sound doctrine. And that's what Paul says to Timothy, that he has to defend the doctrine. And what he preaches should be sound doctrine. We must understand that truth as a two-edged sword is what we must put on and what we must use. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, we are told that the Scriptures are inspired of God, that they are indeed God-breathed. And as sound doctrine, they are practical for a daily and holy living that we come to embrace because we are children of God. We need to put it on. And we need to use it. He calls it in Romans 13 and verse 12. He calls it the armor of light. The armor of light. It's a great phrase and a great way to express the armor of God that we are to put on. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says that we are sons of light. We put on this armor of light. The armor comes from God to us. We are sons of light, and as sons of light, we would want to wear the armor of light when we go out into battle against the principalities and powers and world rulers of the darkness, which are Satan. We are told in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 that God is light. There are a lot of things that are said about God that He is. And once again, it comes to an understanding that God doesn't put on attributes like we would. What we know about God is what He is and who He is. And John says that He is light. In 1 John 1, beginning in verse 5, it says, "And this is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness." The two cannot coexist, darkness and light. They cannot. So we must come to a firm conviction and realization that God is light. And that we are sons and children of light. In Him there's no darkness at all, we are told. "And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." We lie. Do not practice the truth. If we walk in darkness, that's a way of life. That's the way that we live. In verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." So, God is light. There's no darkness in Him, so we walk in light. That's the way that we live. That's what we're told to do. But first we have to realize that this is who God is. That God is light. And we can't have one foot in darkness and one foot in light. Because if we do, in reality, we are in darkness. It's not one of those things that you can walk the middle road and have each one coexist. It doesn't work that way. Once we choose darkness, we are darkness. But once we choose light, darkness cannot be a part of any of that. In John 8, in verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He is the light." So we have God is light. Jesus is light. We are told about the light of the gospel that will lead man out of darkness. It's what God has done for us. We are indeed children of light. Therefore, we should walk as children of light and walk in the light. If you would take out a songbook, please turn to number 376. Number 376, Onward Christian Soldiers. This song expresses who we are, what we've been talking about, and the direction that we should be going. Onward Christian Soldiers. Let's stand, please, as we sing this song. Let's all sing.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see His banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching at to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the Church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against the church prevail. We have Christ so promised, and that cannot fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going off before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with our sure voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Please be seated. Onward, Christian soldiers. That's us. That's how we live our lives, as soldiers of the cross, of men and women who walk in the light, who are sons and daughters of light.
And we're marching into battle every single day. In fact, every single moment.
That provides something for Satan to target.
But we must be aware. We must be armed so that we can fend off all the temptation that comes and all the things that he's trying to get us to do that are contrary to the will of God. Because if we don't fight, then we're going to lose. If we decide that what we are going to do is just to take a defensive stance and not move and not march, we're going to lose. Because God has promised, if we follow Him, that He will be with us.
Jesus said that He would be with us and that there is a crown of righteousness that awaits us
if we go into the battle armed and ready with the truth of God.
And that we are constantly trying to make the truth of God a part of everything that we do, everything that we think, every relationship, every choice. It's based upon the fact that we believe that God is light. In Him is no darkness. Therefore, we walk as children of light. You see, God promises salvation. He promises the crown. Are you in a right relationship with God?
Can you say that I have eternal life? That's what John says in 1 John 5. He says, I'm writing so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you? Do you believe that? He also says that the way that we understand that is if God abides in us and we in turn live for Jesus and do what He says. You can be a part of those that are marching onward and upward into eternity.
But first, you must choose to give your life, your heart to Jesus in baptism. Or as a child of God, if your life is not what it should be. We are here to do what we can to help you. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?